Welcome to God First with Brian C. Thomas, a program committed to encouraging you to put God first while viewing life through the window of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let's join Brian C. Thomas for today's message.
The goal is to let leaders lead, but in certain times people, you know, look to us often, well, what do you think? How do you feel? And we know that while we're all breathing a sigh of relief over the verdict, there's still work to be done. And so we can't sort of say, great, that happened, let's move on. I know that people in the Black community don't feel that way because many of us still live in fear as we go to the grocery store or worry about
walking
our dogs or allowing our children to get a license. I mean, just imagine.
Aren't your girls driving?
They're driving.
Yeah.
But every time they get in a car by themselves, I worry about what assumption is being made by somebody who doesn't know everything about them, the fact that they are good students and polite girls, but maybe they're playing their music a little loud. Maybe somebody mm-hmm. sees the back of their head mm-hmm. and makes an assumption. I, like so many parents of Black kids, have the innocent act of getting a license mm-hmm. puts fear in our hearts.
Welcome to the program. My name is Brian Thomas, and we are continuing this week in our discussion on navigating the race issue in America. That was former First Lady Michelle Obama, and she was responding in an interview to the Derek Chauvin trial and his guilty verdict. And she's saying that, well, although that was a good thing as far as the verdict goes, but there's still work to do and that Blacks are still afraid. And so we're continuing this week. I have my very beautiful wife is joining me, and we established last week how beautiful she is. She just has random strangers come up and tell her how beautiful she is when we're out in public. And again, they just ignore me as if I'm nothing. So, but that's okay though. I got you. You're my wife, and I'm just so glad to have you on the program with us today. So thank you for coming back.
It's a privilege to serve with you.
So, like I said, we're talking about the very serious topic of the race issue in America, and so much of it is related to policing. And as a result of the so-called police harassment of Blacks that we've been hearing for so long, the organization that sprang out of that years ago following the Trayvon Martin case, I believe it was Black Lives Matter. So this week, let's pick up with talking about, do you support that organization, Black Lives Matter?
No, I do not. All lives matter, and God loves us all. And I just think the BLM organization is, if you look at their website, once again, people seek knowledge, but their organization is built on and they stand on ungodly principles. And what they promote does not help Black people at mm-hmm. all. They don't help Black people have a better way of life according to God or anything like that. And also they are professing Marxists. So they are proud of that. And if you look and do your research, Marxism is anti-God, and anything that pushes God out is cursed. Mm-hmm. And so a few of the things that BLM promotes and pushes are things like they want to dismantle the nuclear family. That means go against what God says as far as the man being the head of the home. They want women to be the head. And they promote sexual immorality like the LGBTQ+ movement. And then also they're anti-Israel. And they just reemphasized that recently since the Hamas attacks on Israel. They made sure they made their public statement to show that they are anti-Israel. And of course, that's not godly. And just on top of that, they just simply do not operate as if all Black lives matter. They only focus on those that are killed by the police, and it must be a white police officer with a Black person, right? Mm-hmm. And then they also want to defund the police, so they want to tear down the police, which we talked about last week, how that's a part of converting a country into more of a socialist or communist state of things. You know, they get rid of the police and then they start to federalize the police and things like that. This is something that through Marxism they would know about, right? And also they don't do anything regarding Black on Black crime or the killing of the Black unborn baby through abortion. They don't speak out against like Planned Parenthood. And it's just, if you were to go to there's a website that I visited recently that talked about all of these things with Planned Parenthood, and they're called, let me get the name right. I want to share it with you. They are called protectingblacklife.org. And this is a little bit dated. It's not that far back, but they talk about how Planned Parenthood surgical abortion facilities are mostly in Black and minority communities. And they say that at that time, and it could be more now, approximately 79%, 80% of these facilities are in minority neighborhoods. And this contributes to the high rate at which Black women obtain abortions. And, you know, so BLM, they're pro-choice. They don't deal with the issues that are pretty much destroying the future of Black people. Mm-hmm. They are totally just out of line as far as them saying that they are, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Let me have you pause there for just a moment. It's very interesting when you look at certain groups, people, and their positions when it comes to certain things. Because you mentioned that Black Lives Matter, the organization, is anti-Israel. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, that just sort of goes over their head. They don't pay attention to that. And our ministry, our parent ministry, is Blessings to Israel. We have a strong heart for the nation of Israel. And I don't see how any believer in Jesus Christ that is filled with the Holy Spirit cannot have a heart for Israel. I don't get that. But there are some who claim to be Christians, but yeah, they don't seem to have a care for Israel. But they're anti-Israel. But then also when you go down the list and you look at all the other immoral stances that they take that go against the Bible. And folks, it should be for a Christian, when you look at this, it should be red flags just going off all over the place that this organization is not on the side of God.
Right. And then they love to point out social justice. And I ask myself, what do they know about justice with all of these immoral things that they have as part of their, you know, what they promote? And I know they don't know what the word of God says if they're going to say they're out for justice, because God is justice. And if you were truly wanting true justice, you're going to look at things according to what God says about justice. But they exclude him out of everything. And the Bible tells us that justice is not separate from righteousness. If you ever go and just read through the Bible, or even just do a word search, if you do a word search in the Bible about righteousness, you're going to see justice in a lot of those verses. Here's an example. Psalm 50 verse 6, it says, "And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice." And in Psalm 99 verse 4, it says, "The king is mighty, he loves justice. And you have established equity." And we know that equity means the quality of being fair and impartial. God's justice is impartial. And we know that a lot of things that are done today is done because of partiality, like CRT. They want to put you in groups and judge you and organize you and look at you based on a particular thing about you, such as your race, your sex, and things like that. And BLM, they're the same way. They don't care about equity, you know, they don't care about these things. They don't care about being fair and impartial. And so they know nothing about what God says about true justice. And on top of that, I failed to mention that they are into witchcraft. They call on the dead to give themselves power. So anybody, especially a Christian, should definitely be saying, "I'm going to stay away from that." The word tells us to stay away from all kinds of evil. And if anybody is studying witchcraft to call on spirits and things like that, you definitely need to stay away from an organization like that.
So when they're saying, "Say her name, say his name," that's calling on spirits of the dead, right?
Right.
And you see, you look at the NBA, and they have that on the jerseys, on the court and things.
All over the place.
"Say her name, say his name." And that's why, folks, when you see them out protesting, they'll go up to people. They've approached some politicians out on the street, and they're yelling, saying, "Say her name, say his name." Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. And it's sad because it's a lot when people just jump in line and start doing the same thing that people are doing. You know, you need to do your research before you jump on a certain bandwagon, because you have people out there probably not unknowingly are participating in their spiritual quote unquote spiritual way of doing things. And you have to be careful. You mm-hmm. really do.
And let me say something to correct myself. I said in the NBA, I've seen it on their jerseys. I don't think they have it on the court though.
Over the summer.
They did.
Say her name. No, they had Black Lives Matter.
Right. Yeah.
On their courts.
And like
yes.
in inequality, things like that on the court. Yeah.
Yes. But there were some who had say her name, or say their names on their jerseys, I believe.
Yeah, they did.
But at this point, I think the NBA woke up to their pockets were a little hurting because they were hurting a little bit because they took Black Lives Matter off of their courts.
Right. And you know, as I think about Black Lives Matter, you can see how much of a fraud it is and how much is coming to light, because they said that the woman, Breonna Taylor, her mother, she's on record as saying that Black Lives Matter is a sham. She said that she's not received a penny from them. And her daughter's case has been one that they've been out there pushing. There's another guy who was one of the leaders of one of the chapters, and he resigned because he said he saw that it was not what it was claiming to be. Right. And that's something that we've been trying to get people from the beginning to understand. Churches don't go along with this organization. This right. is wicked. This is not of God. But so many have been deceived in it. And that's a classic Marxist tactic in which they will use a quote, take a name for something that sounds good. It sounds right. Mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter. Yes. Most people would have a hard time really saying, well, no, black lives don't matter, but all lives matter, of course. But they yeah. take something that is easy for people to swallow, but then there's this wicked agenda behind it. And it's rooted in Marxism, like you said.
Satan is cunning, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's very smart. He's very smart. So let's move on to the family issue, because when we look at so many things that are going on, the way that blacks are interacting with police officers, I think it is directly tied to the things that are going on within the home. So what are your thoughts as far as, do you think the breakdown in the black family is really tied into this?
Yeah, and I look at how I do, and I look at BLM, and one of the main things that they stress is that they are going to dismantle the nuclear family. And this is over the past decades, you know, the breakdown has been happening, but BLM has become almost like this religion, yeah. in a sense, mm-hmm. and so many people are flocking to their movement, and so they're actually helping this along. And it's been proven that when there's not a father in the home, the result is more poverty, more households on welfare, more rebellion from the children. And that leads to lack of respect and obedience towards authority. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you see these children who treat police as if they're no one. And so there's no wonder we have a lot of criminal behavior in neighborhoods where there's a large percentage of children that are born out of wedlock and the fathers are not present in the home. Mm-hmm. And then there's also this, the immorality and sin. You know, I look at BLM and they're pushing this, you know, this sexual immorality with LGBTQ+, you know, and God does not bless this stuff, of course. And one of the biggest sin players is that sexual sin, and having sex outside of marriage, that results in babies born out of wedlock or abortions, unfortunately. And then you have these single mothers, they're raising children, they don't have the dad there, they're having to struggle more possibly, or they just choose to say, the dad is not going to be in my life. So they may choose that the bad choice of killing their baby through abortion. And so God is not pleased with this. And then you find the single mothers may have to more likely get on government aid or something like that. So no fathers in the home, which, you know, people almost, you know, a lot of women, I hate to say it, but a lot of women are, I can do this by myself, you know, that kind of thing. But God instituted this, the nuclear family for a reason. And part of that is that the father in the home, there's this a physical representation of authority who deserves respect. There's this physical body there that sets the tone for respect and discipline. And so that's why God made this order for the family. And so this is not by mistake. It's not by design. I mean, it is by design. It's not a mistake that God created it this way. And so, you know, that's why Satan wants to tear down the family. BLM is helping Satan do that. You know, they want to push for this women-led community type of family where the female is the lead and all of these things like that, or have same-sex marriages and things like that. So it just throws the family all out of whack. And God designed that. So anything that pushes God out is cursed.
All right. So let me back up just a moment. You said that there is an order that God put in place for the family.
Yes.
Now, what is that order again?
The man is the head.
Say that one more time.
The man is the head.
Okay. A lot of people don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But that is, you're exactly right. When you have all of these single mothers, I think that it has created just an epidemic. We've been talking about pandemics from COVID, but it's created an epidemic, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, of generations of young men who they grow up. Oftentimes these single mothers are bitter because the fathers of these children have left them. So they're doing what? They're trashing their dads, right? Mm-hmm. The children grow up hearing about how the dad was no good. So they grow up with this anger, and there's a rebellion, therefore, against their own fathers.
Yeah.
And so they have this rebellious nature. So when they are not respecting their own father, then they're not going to respect police. They're not going to respect authority. They grow up with that embedded in them. And fathers, you need to step up to the plate. You know, I'm not going to put this on the single mothers. There's a breakdown on both sides of the aisle with fathers not taking care of their responsibilities, with the mothers making bad choices on who they are choosing to be the father of their children.
Yeah. And I think, too, whenever you have one parent in the home, you're having to go and work to take care of your family. And then the time it takes to really sow into a child, it suffers.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, you see that there's no respect there. Some children are left to their own devices and just kind of having to go and do things on their own. And so they miss out on that, you know, you don't have as much time to sow, to till the soils of their hearts and sow into them the right things and things like that. And if you ever end up on government assistance, and I'm not saying it's for everyone, some people genuinely need help and things like that. But when you start to depend upon the government for everything, you kind of set a standard for, you know, your family. And, you know, it's a hard situation, but it's so important to have a strong masculine man. There's no such thing as toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
No, you need a strong man in your home to help you and to take care of your family.
Right, right. All right, folks, if you're just now joining us, we are in part two of the Navigating the Race Issue in America. We're going to take a short break, but on the other side, we're going to come back and wrap things up as Danita has a message for the church. So don't go away. You are tuned into the God First program.
You are listening to Brian C. Thomas on God First. For more of Brian's teachings, please visit godfirst.org to browse our extensive library of material. There you will find devotionals, blogs, articles, and audio messages available as MP3 downloads on various topics such as salvation, Bible prophecy, marriage, and the significance of Blessing Israel, just to name a few. You can also sign up for our monthly newsletter and visit our web store. So please visit us at godfirst.org. Now, let's return to the conclusion of today's message.
Welcome back to the program. My name is Brian Thomas, being joined by my wife, Danita. We are talking about the issue of navigating race in America. So, Danita, let's wrap things up with the final question. What do you have to say to church leaders when it comes to this issue? Because it seems that most churches are either silent or they're on the side of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, it actually hurts my heart, pains my heart to see when churches have things like the BLM signs up and things like that, knowing what BLM represents. And I just say that a lot of times, too, churches, they'll say they don't want to get caught up in some of this stuff. And then you have some that will say they're all into, you know, they let you know they'll march. They'll do everything. Some of them are marching right now, but won't open the church doors.
Mm-hmm.
But churches should definitely be informing their their congregation, and especially unbelievers in their community, about who BLM is and not promoting them. And the fact that BLM is so anti-God is like, I wonder how in the world do you get tied up with such an organization? Everything about that organization is just wrong. And I look too to say, you know, if they're up there from the pulpit, you know, talking about the police are evil and things like that, because that has happened as well, you know, and I'm like, the police is there in your neighborhood to protect you, mm-hmm. You know, all the time. And so it's sad too, to see how a lot of these black civic leaders some of these black civic leaders are pastors and preachers, right, and ministers, but a lot of them support policies and organizations like BLM that destroy future black generations. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to fathom how they can get involved with these types of policies and organizations.
It's like committing suicide.
Yeah. You're leading them to the slaughter. You're leading people, mm-hmm, to the slaughter. And when they support BLM, it's like they're telling their congregation and even unbelievers who need the truth more than anybody else, that what BLM stands for is okay. And that they should, you know, it's okay to ignore those things. It's better to just be, you know, operate in your blackness and be politically correct and those things. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. I mentioned blackness, and it seems like a lot of churches, and especially black churches, I would say that seems to be driving them more than doing what God would have them to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them will go and talk more about the social justice thing more than they will about sin and repentance. And we know that sin and repentance is what is needed today. Race does not come before truth. And a lot of churches are letting the media, who are sowers of deception,
mm-hmm,
preach to their congregation.
Right.
They're not sharing with them the what's right and what's wrong, and educating their congregation on things that impact them as Christians and as people in general. And I just feel like they are putting race before God in a lot of situations, and they really should be pointing out the sinful lifestyles and all of the different acts that BLM promotes, and talk about all the consequences, the judgment for those things. A lot of times they want to talk about just the social justice part, and they talk about what a cop did, but they don't talk about the sin, unfortunately, that the victim has gotten into, mm-hmm, that has led them to have to interact with the cops and ended up in a bad situation. They should be working their hardest to snatch people from the flames of judgment by speaking the truth about the sins of that BLM promotes. But they don't do that. And they just allow people to go and contaminate their lives with the things that are being spewed from BLM and from the media and things like that. So their congregation just rolls on with society, with the PC culture and all of that stuff, because they're, you know, fearful. They're afraid they're going to get canceled. They're afraid the tithing is going to decrease,
mm-hmm,
or whatever, or something like that. But you can't, a church should not operate in fear and ignorance. They should, you know, of course, fear is not of God. God did not give us a spirit of fear. But the fact that you are a church, you have to have, you have this major responsibility and accountability to sow truth according to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't fit with the word of God, you have to get it out of there. It has no place there. But also being silent about the truth is just as bad, because we cannot be complacent.
Right.
Proverbs 1 verses 32 through 33 says, "For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." So, church, we don't have to be in fear or be worried about harm and safety if we're seeking truth, because we're all about leading people to light and taking them out of darkness. And that's what the church leaders are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is sufficient.
Yeah. And as you were talking, it made me think about how we're in a time in which, as you said, churches don't seem to be of the way of speaking of, say, well, stop committing the sins of crime and you can easily resolve this problem, mm-hmm, if you just quit committing crimes. Like we said previously, But instead, we are in an era in which they are glorifying criminals.
Yes.
And vilifying law enforcement.
Right.
So we're just upside down. And churches, it's time to wake up. So, Danita, I want to thank you for talking with us these past 2 weeks on this very tough topic. We've spoken on it before on our ministry. We don't steer clear of these issues. They need to be spoken. There are tough things to navigate, but we're going to speak truth, and we pray that someone is being helped by what is being said. So in the final minute, can you just give us your closing thoughts?
I would just like to say there is a heart issue. A lot of people want to look to racism and all of these things. Hearts are at stake. Souls are at stake. If I felt like Michelle Obama and LeBron James truly had a high level of Holy Spirit, then I would really expect for them to be seeking souls and ask and trying to get people to live righteously and things like that. But unfortunately, I don't feel like I can turn to them for that. But church leaders, you have a responsibility, and all of those who are Christians have a responsibility to snatch people out of judgment, mm-hmm. and to speak truth, no matter if you're going to get canceled or whatever. But would you rather get canceled by the world or canceled by God? You take mm-hmm. a choice, take a pick. You have a decision to make. But I would ask that everyone who is a Christian, pray for the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Because the Holy Spirit enables a believer to forsake sin. And I'd say if your holy meter spirit is close to E, you need an overflow, a refilling. I just want us to all make sure that we forsake sin and stay on God's side and help draw people and lead people to righteousness. Time is, the Lord's return is not far away. So we need to lead as many people to righteousness as possible.
And I'll just add to that, that folks, don't get distracted by what is going on, because George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and you can go on down the list, their souls are existing somewhere. And that is what should be our focus, is making sure that our hearts are right to go away to be with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When that time comes, regardless of whether it's at the hands of the police, whether it be by the way, the rapture, natural death, whatever it is, make sure that we are in right standing. So that when we do step into eternity, we are stepping into the presence of our Almighty Lord.
Yes.
So, Danita, I want to thank you again for joining us. I've enjoyed having you these
My
last
pleasure.
2 weeks. We'll definitely have you back again. And to our listeners, please come back again and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to put God first while viewing life through the window of the Bible. Until then, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless God's great nation of Israel. To the only wise God, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Amen.